Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm your host, Harold Sutton. Welcome to the Power Hour. I'm your host, Harold Sutton. It's Monday, Grateful Monday, I call it, March 16th, year 2015, and another beautiful day weather-wise here in the DMV. Temperatures around 60 degrees. I'm telling you, my kind of weather. Well, we had a fun, action-packed weekend. Oh, it was busy, but it was so wonderful. I just want to give a shout-out to all of the people that came out on yesterday evening on Sunday to support Bishop Luke Saunders as a fundraiser. As we know, last month he lost everything that he had in a house fire, and he gave his testimony how, you know, when he was in the room and making sure that his dad had eaten, and his dad is like 84 years old, and he was ministering to his dad's needs, and all of a sudden his dad said, "I smell smoke." And so when Bishop Luke went to the other part of the house, in the room, he noticed that the room was on fire, and he had to get everybody out of the house in a matter, you know, at a certain time, because what happened, the fire was so, it was spreading fast. And by the time he got everybody out of the house and to the vehicle, so they could move, you know, kind of, you know, move the vehicles away from the house as well, there was a big explosion right upstairs, blew up, and it was just amazing how, you know, God had his angels in camp all around them to allow them time, just enough time to escape. What a powerful testimony. But we're so grateful for the people who came out to support Bishop Saunders. They came out really big. Hats off to a lot of the quartet groups in the D.C. area who came by and ministered and raised money, you know, for no, you know, they without a cost. You know, these groups, I'm talking about good groups that came out to support Bishop Luke, and they bought their ministry, and we just had a wonderful time. And my intentions were just to come by there, drop up an offering, and keep stepping, because I already had a long day. But the program was so good, and I just want to thank everybody that just went by and blessed my cousin and supported him in a time of need. I'm telling you, God is a good God. The fact that the whole family escaped with their life, with no harm, you know, hurt or danger, nothing, but, you know, they're, of course, it hurts when you lose everything, but God is able to restore that, and I'm not asking God to give them double for their trouble, because God is bigger than that. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, so we're not going to limit them to double, but we're going to ask God just to pour out his blessing upon his servants' life. Amen, amen. And of course, we had a wonderful time there at Jabbok as usual, and it just was really a whole lot of fun on this past weekend. Well, let's get this program started. You know how we do it. Go on your social network, cell phones. Let everybody know that your favorite late night inspiration program is on the air live right now. We're talking about the Power Hour with your host, Harold Sutton. Well, we had some great.
Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remaineth the rest for the people of God." This rest is a finished work. We're not resting in the finished work, but the rest is a finished work. This was inspired by Pastor Creflo Dollar. Tri-City.
There remaineth the rest.
Rest.
A rest.
For the people of God.
For the people of God.
Listen, everybody, we got to guard this promise.
And we must guard it with our hearts.
We must labor to rest.
Everything you will ever need.
Everything that you would ever need.
Was provided at Calvary.
God provided at Calvary.
There remains a rest.
Hey, there is a rest.
work of the Lord. This rest is like when an attorney says, I rest my case. Finish. This is a powerful teaching for the people of God. This rest still remains.
A promise of finished work.
It's a finished work.
And we must guard it with our heart.
Guard the promise with your heart.
Everything you will ever need
was provided at Calvary.
Was provided at Calvary.
Your case has been rested.
There is a rest.
Hey. There is a rest.
There is a rest.
It's a finished
there
work.
A rest.
God rested on the seventh day. He finished his work. Okay, what is a finished work? Scripture says, cursed is any man. Hang it on a tree. Listen. Tell everybody what a curse is.
A curse is defined as poverty.
It's poverty.
It's
sickness. It's death. But listen, when Jesus said, at the cross where he said it is finished, he blessed you.
He blessed us with rest.
Healing finished.
There is a rest.
Provision finished. Prayers answered. Come on, we're going to say this.
Now that you know that it's finished.
Look at your neighbor and say, come on, by faith.
Come on, by faith, let's go in.
Faith takes possession of what grace provided.
Now that you know that it's finished.
The just shall live by faith.
Come on, by faith, let's go in.
Come on,
go in.
Come on,
go in.
Come on.
Now that you know that it's finished.
No more stressing.
Come on, by faith, let's go in.
Walk in the blessing.
Now that you know,
that you know.
Come on, my faith, let's go in.
Come on, let's go.
Everything is a rest.
It remains.
There is a rest.
It remains.
There is a rest.
There is a rest.
It's
there. Provision. There. Your joy is there. It's a finished work. Your peace is there. It's a finished work. Your healing is there. It's a finished work. Depression gone. Stress gone. The hurt gone.
Ah. Resting. Resting. It's complete. Your healing is complete. Provision is complete. Your prayers are already answered. Rest. Rest. Be calm. It's already done. Be assured. It's already done. Labor to rest. To rest, it requires effort. Labor to rest. Thank you, Pastor Dollar. Rest. Rest.
You never. faithful, everything he promised you that you'd get. Waiting on the other side.
You're listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm your host, Harold Sutton.
Oh, yeah. Your way. Thought I had it all figured out. I didn't even ask you about all the things I was doing. And I ruined the things that meant the most to me. Now I'm sitting here all alone. The friends that I had are gone. All I have left is you.
Tripping. I did not
agree. Gotta get back to the place I know that I should be.
I'm gonna do it your way.
Yes, I am.
Started doing my own thing.
You're listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm your host, Harold Sutton. Our spoken word will be coming out of, actually, I have three texts coming out of Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse 1 through 10, Luke 22, 39 through 43, and Luke 23, 33 through 39. And the subject I want to talk about today is resisting the use of your authoritative power for a greater power. Let me say that again. Resisting the use of your authoritative power for a greater power. Now, this particular text and this particular subject basically was inspired from a personal situation that I was dealing with there in church ministry where I work at, and there was tension between myself and a sister that's there at the church and who works in music ministry along with me. And I was determined that, okay, this is something that needs to be dealt with. And now I had the choice, and I could have just used the authority that I had, the position that I have, and dealt with it the way I would normally deal with things. You know how we are when we have the power to do what we do. One of the things that I said there's tension between us, and I dealt with it. I said, there's tension between us, and this is totally unacceptable. And I realized that it was something that needed to be resolved immediately. And instead of me using the power and authority that I had, I chose to relinquish that power and do what I needed to do to make this thing work. Sometimes we have to step back and rely on a greater power that's within. In this case, I'm talking about, you know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power, and this power is going to do some great things for you. Yes, so what we have to do is step back and release ourselves and allow the power within. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God that dwells, the indwelling Spirit of God that deals with our everyday life, the things that we deal with in life. It helps our character. It's a great character building, because when we use the principles of the kingdom, you know, it will keep us in line and keep us in order. So I chose to step back and allow the Holy Ghost to take control of me and not allow my pride and all that kind of stuff to get in a way. You know how we can do, right? You know, because we have the authority. We go ahead and use that power. I chose to go another route. And the most interesting thing about that is that I realized that, look, we cannot truly minister effectively with this type of cloud, you know, that's dwelling in the place. So I chose to disintegrate the particles and fragments of discord, resentment, bitterness towards this sister in Christ. And so what I did what I had to do to make this thing work. And like I said, but releasing my powers and relying on God to lead me. And so I said, God, you know, give me the words to say, help me to minister to this situation. And it was resolved and everything is fine. So I just wanted to share that with you, that this particular lesson today was, you know, really inspired from that personal struggle that we had, dealing with the issue. So let me go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and get into this scripture, and I'm going to start. I believe I want to start with Matthew's. I'm going to start in the book of Matthew's and verse number one, Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, we're talking about the devil, okay, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Remember, Jesus has been fasting 40 days, and he's at his weakest stage, and he's hungry. Okay, but verse number 4, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse number 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. And notice Jesus answered with the word each time. He answered with the word of God. The word is power all by himself, huh? Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse number 8, again, this is the third time now. Don't tell me the devil won't keep coming back, okay? The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee. Now, isn't that interesting? The devil is going to give something to him that he already owns. And if thou wilt fall down and worship me, oh man, the boldness of the devil. Okay, if he can go to Jesus and act to tell Jesus to worship him, what do you think he'll do to you and I, huh? Verse number 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, they go that word again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Jesus had the opportunity here, right then, and he's in authority. He has all power, and he could deal with Satan. I mean, he could have just easily just commanded, and he could have took the devil out of here. Just that simple. But what he chose to do was to relinquish his authority and just use the word. He said, look, I'm going to serve the Lord thy God. I'm going to serve my Father. I'm going to serve my Father. Each time he used the word. Now, he could have dealt with the situation. Okay, he really could have dealt with the situation. But what he did, he relied on the power that he was created for, the power that he was given by the Heavenly Father. And what he did was resist the devil. How did he resist the devil? He resisted the devil through the word. And that's what we have to do. We too have to learn how to resist. Let's go to Luke chapter number 22, verse 39. Now, I'm going to start at, verse number 39, and then we're going to go down to the 43rd. Verse. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. Now, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? And when he was at the place, he said unto them, his disciples, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. In other words, you know, you talk. Stone, right? You know how far you can throw a stone, right? And kneeled down and Jesus prayed. Verse number 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Now, Jesus was challenged because Jesus now was faced with his purpose. Okay, this is what he was created for, to be a sacrifice for the world. And now the time has come. The time has come where he has to now carry out his true purpose and his final step as, you know, in his human form. And he was struggling with this thing. He said, Lord, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I like this, verse number 43. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And I love that verse there. And what I'm saying, although Jesus had the power to deal with this, he could have walked away, but he knew what his purpose was. Instead, what he did was he didn't rely on himself. He went to the Father, and prayed. And the father answer was, he sent this angel to him, said, you can do this. And the angels from heaven strengthened Jesus to carry on the work. And so what am I saying? There again, resisting the use of your authoritative power for a greater power. God will strengthen you. All the time you do not have to exercise your authority. No, you don't. Sometimes you just have to depend on that power within. You have to just lean on God and say, look, God, like I need you to fix this thing. I know you gave me the authority. You put me in a position. But you know what? I know that if you do this thing, I can get through it. And this is what he did with Jesus. When Jesus was at his lowest point, God the Father sent an angel to him, and he strengthened him. And so my last verse that I'm going to use, and I hope this is blessing you, because I'm going somewhere with this. Because I need to help those who are in leadership position. Just because you are in leadership and just because you have authority and you have the power, it does not mean all the time that you need to exercise that. There's sometimes you need just to sit back and search within and just relinquish that authority and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you. Because sometimes, you know, we can put ourselves in a mess. You know what I mean? We really can. But that's why we should always pray. And we should always pray, ask God for direction. I'm going to Luke chapter number 20. And I'm going to begin at what verse do we want to go to? Verse number 33. Okay, we're going to begin at verse number 33 in the 23rd chapter of Luke. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Now we're at the scene where Jesus is now being offered up, and this story is about the thieves, that you have the two criminals who was there on both sides of Jesus. We call them the malefactors. That was on the right hand, and the other was on the left hand side. That's where we are right now. Something took place there that I want to share with you. Okay, verse number 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Verse number 35, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Verse number 37, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save yourself. They even had a subscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Verse number 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man have done nothing amiss. And I want to stop just right there. This man done nothing amiss. Sometimes we don't do things to warrant anything, but it puts us in a situation that can be either life threatening. We can be put in a position so uncomfortable where we sometimes we got to say, look, I can't take this no more. Let me deal with it. And because we are in authority, because we have the power. So a lot of times, what we do, who are in authority, say, look, we're going to dismiss this individual, period, because you know it's just a thorn in my flesh. And here, where Jesus had the opportunity to if he chose to, he could have called the 10,000 angels. Yes, he could. And actually, he had to call now one angel. All he had to do was speak the word, all right? And it would have been a done deal. It would have been a done deal. But once again, Jesus showing, he relinquished his authoritative power for a greater power. This man did nothing wrong to be in the position that he was in. Although this was his purpose in life, he still did nothing wrong. And he could have called those angels. He could have come down and saved himself. Even when people, you know, they said, you know, hey, if you be the Christ, why don't you save yourself? You save other people, save yourself. But Jesus, being who he is, he relinquished his authority and was obedient to his heavenly Father. And that's what we have to do. How many times, even as parents, sometimes we go wrong. Sometimes we try to train our kids, and especially when they get to that age where they just, you know, where they know it all. And you can know when they get a certain age, you know, some things just don't work. You can't keep beating them, okay? Because if you beat a child, you know, with the laws we have, you know, you get locked up, okay? So now it takes wisdom. So sometimes you just can't use your authority over them. A lot of times you have to ask God. You have to reach down inside and say, God, give me the wisdom. Give me the knowledge. Give me the wisdom to deal with this particular situation. Instead of me just using my thoughts, yeah, I'm dead. You know, you ain't going to do what I say to. You're getting out of this house. Well, all you do is sending them to the hands of the enemy. You know, if you're not going to take care of them and whatever, you know, the world will embrace them. So what sometimes we have to do as parents, we have to sometimes release our authority, you know, and we have to just seek God. Say, God, give us the wisdom. Give us the wisdom so we can deal with the challenges of raising children. And so I hope this bless somebody, especially the leaders that's in leadership position. I don't care whether or not if you're in your workplace, you know, governing your governing jobs, in church ministries, athletics. I don't care where you are, but if you're in authority, you know, whether you're in the heels of Congress, you know, sometimes you know, sit back and you don't have to use that power like that. You really don't. You know, sometimes it's just good to use wisdom. You know, and wisdom comes from God. Yes, everything comes from God. So the Bible said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Well, that's our spoken word for the day, and I pray that it bless you real, real good. The power that's within sometime. You have to resist the use of your authoritative power for the greater power within. That's our spoken word for today. Be blessed.
Fill me with your anointing. I wanna be a
listening to the Hour of Power broadcast. I'm your host, Harold Sutton.
mountain looming so large in front of me. Can't climb it, how I'll get over, I just can't see. But I remember how you did love in time before. For you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Get over, I just can't see. But I remember how you delivered in times before. For you the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Oh yeah, my mind.
Help me to remember that you
The clock on the wall is saying our time is up. Hope you enjoyed this program on tonight, that your spirit was lifted, that your heart was encouraged. Now, the good news is that we'll be right back on tomorrow night doing what we do best, and that's to bring late-night inspirations into the midnight hours all around the world for your listening pleasure. So don't forget, make sure you dress warm. It's cold out there, and you take care of yourself when you do that. And may the good Lord blessing keep you until we connect again on tomorrow night with the Power Hour. I'm your host, Harold Sutton, signing out. Come on, Chris Holmes, take us home.
For life is pain.
Power broadcast. I'm your host, Harold Sutton.